This last week, it's really hard to make heads or tails of what was happening. We all suffered a devastating loss this last week. Our pastor, our friend, our brother passed away. And honestly, I think it shocked all of us that this is something that would happen while we were all gathered together for worship, right? We're trying to unpack that. What does that mean? What does that signify to us? What should we have done? What could we have done? And I don't know, but I do know that I've been praying for all of you. And I know that you've been praying for Pastor Irma and for her daughters, for the family. I've had a lot of calls wanting to know how they're doing, and I think that says a lot. Especially asking, how is Irma doing in all of this? Like, this is so devastating for her. And to be blunt, she's hurting. But I have to tell you that she is strong and that she is deeply grounded in the Lord. And I say that because after Pastor Antonio was taken to Modesto, he was very quickly placed on life support. So Mark drove me up early Monday morning so that we could be there for Irma and the family during this difficult time, because the doctors had already told her that there was nothing to be done. The stroke was so severe that it had done so much damage that there really was nothing to be done. Pastor Antonio was gone, and his body was completely dependent upon life support machines. So we went up there and we prayed with Irma and her daughters. And most of it was just us just being there in this time, just a presence in that room. And as we waited for the rest of the family to arrive so that they could take him off of the machines and place his body in the hands of Christ, I watched Irma respond in a way that was just so godly. Because she would, if you've ever heard Irma pray, right, or sing or anything, right, she does everything with passion. Right, I was telling the kids, you know, before, so you guys got to do it con ganas, right? That was Irma when she talks to the Lord. You know, she cries out to God. So I want you to imagine her doing this next to her husband of 40 years. And I watched her cry out to God for her husband, for her best friend of 40 years. And she would cry out loud. And every time that she did it, every single time that she did this, it absolutely reminded me of a psalm. Because of the way that she would do it. She would cry out, and it would always be something like, just out of nowhere, all of a sudden she would weep and she'd cry out, "Oh my God, why is this happening?" Or, "Why are you leaving me? Why are you taking me?" It was almost this, "Why are you forsaking me, Lord?" kind of thing that she would begin with. Like, "Why is this happening?" But then as soon as she was done doing that, she would declare her faith in the Lord. And she would say something like, "My faith is in you, though, God. I trust you, God." And then she would praise him and she would thank him for his grace and his love and his work. And then she would be fine. And then she would go through this whole thing again and again and again. And what amazed me, what really stuck out to me, is that the way that she did this was so absolutely natural for her. Pastor Irma had spent so much of her life in the Bible and serving God and just relying on him for every single part of her life, that when this happened, responding like the saints who wrote the Psalms was as natural to her as breathing. It was just normal. How else would she respond? She didn't have to think about it. I thought that was awesome. She is hurting. But I tell you, she's going to be all right, because she is strong in the Lord in a way that we should all desire to be. And so this week, as I prayed to the Lord for direction, it was no wonder that he sent me into the Psalms. And I want to talk a little bit about one psalm in particular that I think has great wisdom for us in this time. And this is Psalm 56. And I'll be honest with you, it's not a psalm that I've actually spent a lot of time studying or reading. You think it's psalms, and I know which ones to go to. For us, like Psalms 56. And it wasn't like the voice of the Lord said, go to Psalms 56. I was reading through the psalms, and this one just stuck out. I thought, where have you been all my life? But Psalms 56 says, let me read this to you. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long, foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long, they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps. As they have hoped to have my life, so repay them for their crimes. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You've kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you, I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so I may walk before God in the light of life. I think that even without, even if we were to take out the loss of our beloved Pastor Antonio, I think everybody here can relate to the first part of this psalm. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long, my foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. Many of us feel like this is me. Like my entire life seems like all that happens is I get trampled on. Like all day long, my days are just one thing after another trampling on me. All the realities of life that could possibly attack us, they seem to be doing so, right? It's like my life is about Murphy's Law. If it can go bad, it's going to. And if someone can hurt me, they're going to. And if something can go wrong, it's going to. And it's like it's one thing after another after another. And just as soon as I feel like I've got some control of the chaos, I turn around, there's like 16 more fires. It's ridiculous. And you just want to get up. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I just want to get up, but I can't get up. Because just as one foot finally gets off of my neck, two more seem to step on my back and a bigger one tries to crush my head. Every time one thing almost is relieved, other things come. So my enemies trample on me all day long. Have you ever felt that way? Obviously, that's rhetorical because everybody has felt that way. And here's the reality, the truth, right? The enemy, the devil, seeks to kill and to destroy us. We know that. We say that all the time. The enemy's trying to destroy you. The enemy's trying to kill you. But here's the thing. It's not just through a physical death to us. Because we might be able to handle it if that's all it was. Because to die for us is to be with Christ. And so whatever, kill me if that's the best you can do. But no, the enemy is even meaner than that. Because the enemy holds us down with the death that surrounds us and the threat of death to those we love. Like it'd be one thing if you're doing it to me, but look, it's happening to them and to them. And this is happening and that's happening. And I don't know what to do about that. And as if having the enemy trample upon us once wasn't enough. I mean, that's what the devil's supposed to do. At least we get that. The Psalms remind us, it says, the people trample on me all day long. Man, there's a whole lot of us who are weighed down and trampled on by others who may not even realize that they're doing it. Like, it'd be one thing, at least, if it was just the devil doing his job. But, man, I feel sometimes like I'm getting trampled on by our neighbors, right? By our family members, that we're getting trampled on by our friends. Like every time we turn around, somebody is walking on me and trampling on me and putting a burden upon me. And many of us are weighed down and trampled upon by others who may not even realize that they're doing it to us. They're just regular people just trying to survive life, just like us. And they end up becoming the majority of the feet that press down upon us, don't they? Because those are the things that hurt us. We just can't say anything. What's causing this pain? It's you. What's causing this pain? It's you. And it's them. And it's them. And it's that. And it's this. And it's all of these things. It's all of these feet that are in my life. They're the ones that are trampling upon me. Lord, the people are trampling on me. And it's not to say that anyone is doing this to us on purpose. But that most of the time, most of us are so busy just trying to survive life that we don't even realize that we are trampling upon our neighbors, that we are the ones trampling upon our brothers and our sisters, that we are the ones who are trampling upon our beloved. Because we say, it's just me, I'm just doing me. But here's the thing, look, I said this before and you have to understand this. You don't get to do life on your own. It doesn't work that way. How many times do we tell people we heard, just mind your own business, don't worry about what I do. Here's the problem, what you do is my business. Because what you do does affect me. Whether you want it to or not, it does. You cannot sin in a vacuum. You cannot do anything in a vacuum. Every single act that you make does not just affect you. That's a farce. It's a lie. It's not real. It hurts others. It affects others. It affects people you don't even know. This is the reality of life. But in any case, regardless of intentions, regardless of anything else, we still feel like we're being crushed under the weight of the world. One tragedy or trauma or fire just always seems to invite more into our life. And we're hurting. And we just want to stop hurting. There's a few things from this psalm that I feel the Lord sharing with us that I want to touch on really quickly this morning. The first and probably the most important thing that we need to know about being hurt is that God is near to us during this time. Amen. Verse 8 says, "You've kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record?" Even I cried out to the Lord. Our response last week was to cry out to the Lord. And those cries are not in vain. God hears those cries. You are not alone. I love the story of Abraham, or of Moses, when he goes to the bush. And God tells him, "I've heard the cries of my people." He's not saying, "I heard the cries that my people cried out to me," because sometimes we don't even cry out to God. Maybe I don't even know if God's real. I'm just going to cry out randomly. It doesn't matter. God hears your cries. The one true God hears your cries. You are not alone. And God recognizes that we're hurting. He desires to comfort us. He desires to bring us reprieve from this pain. And he's so close to us in these times, near enough that he can actually gather these tears, right, from our face and place them in a bottle. This is just to say that God has every intention of restoring what was lost. That he is keeping a record of the things that are hurting you. He knows what's hurting you. He knows when you've been trampled upon. By people, by the enemy, by loved ones, he knows. And he has every intention of wiping away every tear and making everything right. And he is doing this even now. And he calls us, his church, to be a part of this, to be the royal priesthood who, by God's grace, exists to reveal the good news, to reveal the gospel to the world, and that their God is with them, and he will come in full into this, his kingdom, and he will make all things right. So yeah, we need to know in these times that God is with you. The second thing is from verse 4. It says, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid. What can flesh do to me? So the second thing that we need to know about being hurt is that it is limited. But God's redemptive grace is not. And this verse is an affirmation of trust and encouragement. This idea of encouragement, of trust, is so important to this psalm. It's repeated again in verse 10 and 11. It says, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. I'm not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? You see, when we're being trampled upon, when our lives are falling apart, when the wind is knocked out of us, these things can overwhelm us with fear. We have all been there. Fear of losing our loved ones. Fear of losing what bit of ground we've gained in life. Fear of being rejected. Fear of being punished. Fear of hurting more than we already do. But it is in these times that we need to think soberly. That we need to think reasonably. That we need to recognize and know that God is with us. That God is sovereign, and we need to know that He desires to bring us life and peace, and He desires to use us to bring life and peace into the world. He desires to bring true life into this world, not just existing, not just surviving, but life. He desires for us to bring true peace, not just the absence of conflict, but this calmness, this recognition that I can live this true shalom that is spoken of in the Scriptures. And we need to know that there is nothing in this world that can threaten God. And I know that when we're in stressful situations, when we feel overwhelmed, when we're being trampled upon by life, I know that in those times, we tend to move into survival mode. And we decide that me, the individual, I am the only entity in this entire world that is truly concerned with my fears. And I, myself, I'm the one that needs to protect and provide for myself, for those that I love. I'm the one to do that because nobody cares about me like I do. I get that. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I get that feeling of saying that when everything else goes down, when I'm my back's against the wall, I will fight to the death for this world. I will fight for the death for my family. I've told people that if anyone ever threatened to hurt my family, there's a time when I would burn this world down for them. Because I feel like I'm the one to do that. No one would ever get past me to my family. I would defend them. I would take care of them. And I felt that way because we have this amazing love for them, right? Or even this desire that says, I can actually do this, that convinces us that I can do it, that when it comes to my family, nobody can get past me. I am the most important thing in their lives. I am the one to protect them better than anybody else in this world. But here's the reality. I'm not the most powerful person on this planet. And if I decide that I am best suited to secure my family, then my pride and my fear will cost them their lives. The same is true of every one of you. If you think that you are the best one to protect and secure your family, then your pride and your fear will cost them their lives. Period. You are not the exception to this rule. My hands, though determined, are limited. That's reality. The hands of the enemy, the feet of the people who trample us, they are also limited. But God is not. See, if I place my family, myself, everything that I love in the hands of God, nobody will ever snatch them away. Verse 10 says, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We are all hurting right now with the loss of our beloved Pastor Antonio. Let me tell you something. He's in the arms of Jesus, the same God that he proclaimed day after day. And his prayer for you has always been that you would be in the hands of Jesus. His prayer for this church has always been that it would be in the hands of Jesus. Because nothing, not even death, has any power over Christ. And this brings us to the final aspect of the psalm that I feel the Lord revealing to us. In verse 12 it says, "My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life." You see, God has called us to a mission. Pastor Antonio's last sermon was about becoming bridges into the world for Christ. His last act was the commissioning of leaders in this church to continue the work of God's mission. We hurt. This is real. We must mourn. We will cry. And God does hear that, and God does respond. Our precious pastor is gone from us. But death is the best that mortals can do to us. That's the best they can do. That is the most powerful weapon that the enemy, that mortals have against us. But check this out. God is bigger than death. And we know that right now, Pastor Antonio lives, and he will be raised at the resurrection into an eternal life. The best the world can do is limited, but God is not. And just as every one of us will be raised if we place our souls in the hands of Jesus. And because all this is true, we must continue the mission that God calls us to. Mercy Springs Church will continue to serve the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Pedro Antonio Reyes. And we will do this as a covenant people of the Lord. We will do this as the royal priesthood. In this time, especially in this time, friends, we need to all continue with our eyes fixed upon Jesus as the author and the perfecter of our faith, so that we can reflect his image back into this world, so that we can bring hope back into this world. I want to invite the team to come back up. And as they do, I want you to just be in prayer. You see, God has called this church to a path that I believe is absolutely amazing, but it is difficult. But it's a path by which that I've seen fruit that just blew me away. Even the response last week by this one church revealed to me how powerful God is working. The response that I'm hearing from our community, from our district. We have a mission to continue to share this gospel into this world. To share the gospel into our community here in Los Baños. I ask that you would pray and find your place in that. I told you last week, the harvest is great and the workers are few. We're down a pretty major worker. And it's not a gap that I'm asking us to fill. But rather, I think it's an impression that should inspire us to follow. To give our lives to the Lord and to seek him and to follow him and to obey him and to serve as he has called us to. So be praying where your part in service is. Maybe you're called to be an usher, one of the most important positions in the church, because what people see when you come in matters. Maybe your call is to just minister at your work in your place. Maybe your call is to serve in leadership. Maybe your call is to teach. Maybe your call is to work the slides, Answer your call. And let's honor Antonio and let's glorify God by serving the Lord. Amen? Father, I love you and I thank you. And I pray that in this time, Lord, we would lean on you. That we would realize that you are near to us in all things. That you recognize that hurt is real. That we are trampled on in ways, Father, that are absolutely unfair. But we get it. That's the reality of this world. But we also realize that that is not your plan. That is not your desire. Your desire is for all things good. So help us to lean into that, to do that, to be those people who would do good, who would become that Tov again, that image of God. Help us to trust you, to put aside our fears, our pride, and to lean on you for all things. So that we would move forward, Father. That we would continue the good fight. And that we would finish the race that you've called us on. So be with us and bless us, Lord. I pray this in the name of Christ.